Do you get people like emailing you saying, I don't drink either, congratulations?
He did get emails, remember?
Oh yeah, what did they say in the emails?
He said that you would let us know.
Yeah, but I've slept since then.
Oh.
I don't remember that
and
stuff.
And they are gone.
So. Don't you have it on your phone or something?
No.
Dance, monkey, dance.
Hello and welcome to this week's Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm Brandon.
And Kristen.
And we are in Brandon's house in case things
house?
Sound different. Whose house?
Brandon's house.
No,
I know.
So, yes, we're over here today because John is on a secret mission and is
From
not
what?
Here this week. John will be in and out a lot over the next couple of weeks.
He's stopping the war between Pakistan and India.
Possibly.
Wow.
But we'll never know.
That's some
good
work.
Because he won't tell us.
Hmm. Ooh, he won't tell you?
No.
But he'll talk about the Flash.
Because then he would have to kill you.
Well, that, how do you think he unwinds from a day of spying?
Jerk off.
And watch the Flash.
Oh.
Maybe at the same time.
Simultaneously.
I don't know all his likes and
Maybe
dislikes.
He's the fastest jerker.
There ever was.
Is that a bragger?
If
that
ever of ever a whiz there was.
That's R. Kelly.
Oh, gotcha.
Is there pee involved?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. R. Kelly definitely peed on a 14-year-old girl on tape.
Well, you mean besides the recent one?
So the original.
There have been
the
a couple.
One.
There have been
the original
a couple.
One, and then there's a new one. Yeah.
And yet he still walks around. Isn't that great?
My question is why? Why would you? Why is that a thing?
Why would anybody want that? I like a warm shower with water.
Oh, okay. So, I thought we were going to go somewhere.
I thought it was way different too.
No.
Whoa. Like,
but what I'm saying is I don't understand people that want.
I get
Other
a lot of fetishes, like foot fetishes and shit like that, but like pee fetishes and things, I don't get.
That's what I'm saying. Like, doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, there's bodily fluids that I'm willing to accept.
Yeah.
And there's ones that I'm not.
Yeah, that's
which fluids are you willing to accept?
I also don't accept solids.
No. No, but you know, there's
so no solids, some fluids.
Yeah.
Some are unavoidable.
Yeah. Did you guys see the thing that was floating around Facebook about the woman that was doing the thing where she was putting period blood on her face to make a point of like, it's a natural thing and it shouldn't be
that's
feared.
That's just unsanitary.
And that's what everybody
blood.
Was saying. It was all like, I'm a woman and I'm telling you that this is not right.
Blood is still blood. Like, hello.
No.
It's not good.
And people do weird shit and people are okay with it.
Accurate.
I'm okay with some weird shit as long as it's not hurting somebody else, but this actually did hurt somebody else, I would say.
Well, it could. Like, what
wait,
if that
wait,
woman
wait, wait.
Has...
The R. Kelly thing. Oh, okay.
Oh.
And, well,
okay.
And the blood thing.
Well, yeah, because if somebody has a disease, it's just going to get spread.
And
that's
Kristen
like...
knows better than anybody.
Okay. Rude.
All right, I'm gonna be really ignorant about something here, but if you have a blood disease...
Yeah.
Does that transfer into period blood?
Blood is blood. It's bodily fluids because it's coming from your body.
Yeah, like any blood disease would be. I think.
Yeah, any
because,
bloodborne pathogen
because
or disease.
Period
yeah.
blood is the shedding of the.
Yeah, but which is line. Inside
it's
of you,
sloughing right. off of the.
Okay.
Of
that
the,
blood had to come from you. It didn't come from somewhere else.
Like I said, I'm really
no. I'm
about
not.
It,
I'm
so.
Not, and I'm not trying to be judgmental.
Guys, you can write
either.
Us about your period.
I'm just saying.
What?
You can write us emails about your period.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it is, and that's like that's why that girl got suspended. That was like rubbing her tampon on her roommate's book bag.
What?
You don't remember that?
Thankfully,
it's been like.
No.
A year or 2 years ago?
See, folks, some weeks we talk about the Flash, and then there's other weeks like
this. The flow.
Yes, there you go.
Son of a bitch.
We don't have a strict guideline on what we talk about here on Dance Monkey Dance.
Maybe we should. Okay.
No. No, that's what makes the show unique. You never know what you're going to get. It's like a box of chocolates.
I have a glass of gin.
Yeah.
With chocolate?
I don't think it's very good. So, And wait, did I ever tell you about my gin story at Disney World?
No.
Like 3 second story. Yeah. It's during the Millennium Festival.
Okay.
At Epcot.
Okay.
Because what I like to do is there's no place better, I don't think, than to celebrate New Year's at Epcot. If you're in Disney, I mean, I'm sure there's better places to spend New Year's. But so we went to the Millennium Building, and I had just started drinking at this point. So I hadn't experimented with a lot of liquors. So, you know, I didn't go, okay, well, I like whiskey, but I like this type of whiskey, you know.
Right.
So I ordered I liked ordering a Long Island iced tea because of the... Am I coming through?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
Don't worry about what I'm doing. I'm just worried keep about talking.
You do you, boo.
Can we hold Come on.
Long Island iced tea because it was the cheapest, most alcohol option at this point.
Okay.
So I ordered a Long Island iced tea, and it tasted fantastic. From the Millennium Building in Epcot.
Right.
Wait, were you at the Millennium Building?
At Epcot?
Was it New Year's? So weird. Continue.
So anyway, I ordered this fantastic. And so then...
Long Island iced tea? Long Island at the Millennium Building?
At the Millennium Building.
At Epcot?
At Epcot.
Wow. Okay.
When was this?
During the Millennium. during the Millennium Celebration. So, all 5 years of it.
So weird.
Order this thing, fantastic. Then I order, and I'm like, I'm going to go get another one. I don't have a lot of money, but I'm going to spend the $10 or whatever it is on this drink.
Right.
And I should have known that it was not going to be great, considering the lady goes, hey, I haven't made that in a while.
Jesus.
Different lady, obviously.
And so like now, you know, I just chill gin. Not a problem. Sounds great. Let's do it. But then I'm like, I don't know what this foreign taste is. I don't like it.
That's because half of it was gin.
Half of it was gin. I bought a 20-ounce Coke just to put in with that gin.
And that didn't even help it.
It did not curb the taste of that gin at all. Now, straight gin, no problem. Then,
not so much.
Not a great problem to have.
Okay.
Gin. Cheers.
Cheers, gin. Take a shot because you banged the microphone.
Well, I banged the microphone.
He did it on purpose. Yeah.
Look at you being all Jenny. And you have stopped.
I'm happy. We're happy to have you over here, Chris.
Oh, thanks. Session. Thanks. Yeah. I appreciate it.
We're happy to be on the show as well.
Always.
Oh. Okay.
Do your listeners increase or decrease when we're on?
No, it's very steady.
They never know what's going to happen with John.
That is true.
Right.
They're tuning in.
I mean, look, here's the reality of it. Either we don't do the show when John's not here.
Yeah.
And it can go for weeks without him.
Yeah.
Or we bring in people like you guys that are entertaining to talk to and they get a show.
Who else has been on the show other than us?
We've had a couple people. Nobody's ever guested besides you guys.
Meaning?
Like guest hosted. John and I have interviewed people.
Okay.
Nice.
Together, but it's never been
like a trade off.
Yeah, he's never done the show by himself because he could care less. But
he cares about you out there.
He cares because
you care.
Well, as long as I'm doing the work, he's good with it.
Yeah.
So
as long as he just has to call in or answer the phone
John
if he can't answer the phone.
He's never going, huh?
John is capable of doing all this.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But this was my idea and my stuff, so it's always just been, okay, I'm going to show up for the show. You do it.
Yeah.
I was bragging on you the other day about this show.
Oh, yeah?
I was telling somebody the original concept, at least as I understood it.
Which was?
Which was basically you moved away from your friend and needed a way to have conversations with your friend.
Yes. More or less.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear the whole story?
Yeah, I do.
Because I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the show.
And now for the truth.
Show number 500.
I had moved to Arkansas from Florida, and basically what happened was this show came around at kind of the darkest time of my life. So the day before my daughter was born, I lost my job. The dude called me to his house and said, I know your baby's coming, but I can't employ you anymore.
So low.
Yeah. Ugh. So, and I don't remember the time frame between when that happened and when we started the first show. I'd have to go back and look at the date of the first show.
Can you do that for us, please?
No. Okay. but John had called me a bunch of times to check on me. He knew what was going on. And at that point, I was listening to a lot of like Kevin Smith podcasts. And he was basically touting this thing of like, here's a way to get together with your friends and talk about a bunch of shit, and you record it, you put it online, other people listen to it, like-minded people. And I got it into my head that that's something that I wanted to do. And John is such an interesting personality that I said, if nothing else, one, I get to talk to him every week. Mm-hmm. And two, I get to introduce the world to him. And the original concept of the show was we were each going to come to the show with a question. And the question was going to be something off the wall that we talked about for half an hour. And that that concept lasted maybe a show or two. And then it just became a conversation.
Yeah.
And the conversations that we would normally have anyway. So a lot of it's about what we watch on TV. Lots of it tends to be political these days, just because we're both like politically minded now.
Republicans.
Yeah. you don't listen to the show then.
But neither does your wife.
No. So that was the original intent. So you're partially right. That it was a way to talk to him because I had gone. Once you move away, out of sight, out of mind, he gets busy, I get busy, whatever. We wouldn't talk as regularly as we would with the show, which is why we always said, I don't care if anybody listens.
Yeah.
We're not here to make money. We're here to just kind of talk. And I think he feels the same way of like, this is just a weekly way of getting together without, any baggage or any expectations or anything like that.
Yeah. You don't have to study before, you just talk.
No.
Just
live. Yeah. And that's why, instead of coming up with a question every week, and I remember I had these ludicrous ideas of like, because it's a dark time in your life, you think of a lot of weird shit.
Yeah.
And I remember specifically there was one that was like, at some point in the human race, our hygiene was not as what it was today. And that there were people who were attracted to other people because of the way that they smelled.
Right.
And so that meant that some people love the smell of shit.
Wow, you really did think through this.
I was unemployed. I was taking care of a baby during the day.
And she was pooping.
Yes. And then the shit was just going around in my head because,
Yeah, that's what you do.
And it was literally, we did a test show where we were like, all right, here's what we're going to say in the beginning. Here's what we're going to say at the end. And we tried that thing of and John, I remember getting the question out and John being like, what the fuck is wrong with you? why do you think people are going to listen to this? And I was like, I don't know, because it's different.
Well, because people want to know what other people think about weird things.
I guess, but it never lasted because he was like, can't we just talk about what's on TV?
And if we ever can get this up online, again, one of the, we without exchanging this idea about this beforehand, that was one of the show ideas that we came up with, was to actually talk about, I would come up with a random question that the other two people would not be aware of.
Right.
And we would just ask that question for 20 minutes.
Right.
Yeah. Just oddball, off the wall.
Yeah.
Question.
Just what comes, and I wouldn't think about it that much before we got into it.
Yeah. And I think the problem with a show topic, especially in this format, is as the person who comes up with the question, you then have an idea of oh, this is going to go for a half an hour, mm-hmm. or we're going to be able to talk about this for the entire show. Mm-hmm. And then you talk for 10 minutes with the other person and it doesn't go quite the way you want it to go. And then you're stuck.
See, that's and you're like, oh, that's why when I thought about that, I limited it to 20 minutes.
Well, yeah,
because I figured that would be how much people could always talk more about it. We could always revisit those questions, but 20 minutes in and out.
Yeah, well, we pattern the show after all the hour-long stuff, which is, and John, we've done shorter shows, and afterwards John's been like, but that wasn't an hour. I was like, when did we ever say, that's what we kind of shoot for? Yeah. But if we talk for half an hour and then there's nothing else to talk about, it's like,
all right,
well. Okay, thanks.
When we did we had a lot of form, when we started talking about Rotten to the Core and things like that, we had format questions, so we could always move on to the next question.
Right.
And I knew approximately how much time we had in each of those. So, I mean, you can always over-formulate these things.
But that right. does require homework.
Well, I did a lot of homework for each of those.
That's what I'm saying.
And I also do, like, the spur-of-the-moment stuff. I like, going off on tangents with him. He'll say something, and then I'll stop him and be like, all right, wait.
Hey, what did you say about that?
Let's go back and do this scenario. And then, you know, then that leads us off to somewhere else.
Yeah.
What scenario? Like, what name of scenario?
I don't remember. I told you, I do these things, and then I forget what we talk about.
They're in and they're out.
Which is literally, I feel like we talk about a bunch of stuff over and over and over, and it's because I don't remember it.
Do people write this to you?
No, not really. I mean, the email we get is always normally about stuff that we talk about.
But you don't remember it, so.
But he responds to the email.
About how much you don't remember it?
No.
Well, no. I mean, most of the time the emails are about stuff that, like, it'll jog my memory of something we talked about.
Yeah, I got you.
But there are people that have listened to the podcast that, like, I've had people that I've worked with listen to, like, a random podcast and then want to talk to me about it. And I'm like,
that was when
was that? And they were like, oh, this is from, like 2015. Okay, I have no clue what you're talking about.
You and I used to have the same conversation.
Yeah.
If you recall.
Yeah, you would come up and you'd be like, blah, 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 blah. And I'd be like,
what?
I don't know what you're talking about. And you're like, you said it in your podcast.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I had to get up to date. Like, I listened to all these podcasts like over and over and over and over again.
All 400 of them?
I listened to at least 150 of them. Wow. Because I started at the top and now I'm here.
And now you're on the show.
And now you're here. Literally.
So, guys, if you write a number in of how many podcasts that you listen to, Chris will invite you on the show.
Oh, I have no problem with that. We've had listeners on the show before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who?
I think he still listens. His name's Harold.
Hi, Harold.
Harold.
Hi.
Found us because he was looking for spooky.
No. Connections.
Yes. He was listening for. It was like one October. We were doing. Like ghost stories and urban myths and just like spooky shit.
Nice.
And he found us that way and he just kept listening. And we found out that Harold was an ex-Mormon. And we were like, dude, you want to be on the show? You want to talk about all the weird shit? And he was like, yes, I do.
Magic underwear.
Yeah, well, that's what we talked about, nice. All that kind of stuff. So we've had him on the show. We've had my parents on the show. We had this guy that John and I both worked with that he's a Blues Brothers impersonator, an Elvis impersonator, and he's really out there as far as like believes in the whole psychic thing and doesn't like James Randi because James Randi likes to disprove all that crap, right?
Short of the last third.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, are you talking about Brandon?
Yeah, I mean that.
And then you said psychic, and I was like,
So he came on the show once. Which was a really interesting kind of conversation.
I bet it was.
But yeah.
Huh.
Who's your favorite guest that you've had so far? Not counting us, obviously.
We're guest host.
Well, we haven't had that many. I mean, I like talking to Harold.
If you want to be on the show, you let Chris know.
How did you set it up with Harold? Did you set it up like an online mic or what?
Skype.
Okay.
He Skyped in. We were doing Google Hangouts at that point, like as the way to record stuff.
Yeah.
Huh.
And because Skype didn't have like multiple person calls yet. So we were doing it through Google. And then when that audio system kind of took a dump, like we'd get these weird like echo effects and shit that would happen. We went back to Skype. But I think it was through an email. He said, hey, I listen to your show. I'm an ex-Mormon, blah, blah, blah. We had been talking about, I think at that point, who was the guy that ran for president that was a Mormon?
Mitt Romney.
We were talking about him and his magic underwear. And I think Harold wrote in and said, I'm an ex-Mormon if you ever want to ask questions. We were like, yes, that's please. Fun. So, yeah, I mean, if there's an interesting person out there that wants to be on the show, absolutely.
If you're not interesting, though, keep it to your damn self.
I mean, we have you on. So.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. So when was this on? When did this happen?
Oh, geez. 2012? Maybe? No, it had to be after that. No, 2012 was a presidential election.
Yeah.
So it had to be around 2012.
Jesus, how long have you been on the air?
2010, maybe? 9 years?
8 years.
It's 2019.
9 years, buddy.
70 years.
So, something like that.
I was told there'd be no math.
It's the better part of a decade.
Why is there math? Yeah, you're going to work it on 10.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's been an interesting ride.
Decade.
Yes, that is 10 years. Last I checked.
So, I've got so many questions.
A decade of dance.
A decade of dance. Yeah.
Dance.
Jazz hands.
Dancing,
you
got to
figure out your exact date and then...
Yeah, it was May... I think it was May of 2010.
So we're coming up on 9 years.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Does that sound weird?
More than normal?
What's the right answer? What's going to make you self-conscious the most?
Any answer.
Yes.
Jen's done.
Yes.
Was there? Have you guys ever missed a show before? I know there was one time where you accidentally missed a show.
We've...
Because I told you about that one.
We have missed shows because of John's work schedule. But we try to tell people about it.
Yeah.
I used to, in the beginning, I would do like best ofs.
Okay.
And it took so long to do and try to figure out what was entertaining in that and like what people would want to hear again. And then I got to the point where I was like, well, if they've already heard it, the fuck would they want to like re-listen to it?
A recap. People like recaps.
I don't, and I feel like
Well, sure, sure.
I'd have to play. I want to be the person that
you're like. I don't want to listen to all of them again. Well, so that too. You guys aren't getting a recap.
So it became I used to just do like 10-minute shows and kind of do what was on my mind or whatever, and then it got to the point where I was like, we're just not doing a show. Sorry.
Because you did a couple from your car, right?
No, that or was that different something show. Different? That was a different thing.
Were you recording something?
That was your YouTube show.
Oh, yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
Why'd you stop doing that?
Ran out of things to say? Because it was a... I tried to get like a motivation thing going. But and I got to the motivation? End of the list and I was like, all right, I kind of said what I wanted to say.
Okay.
Do people still watch those?
No, they're not online anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you took them off, probably.
I hid them.
Oh, remind me after this. I've got a short film idea for you.
Okay.
So we can make that and then put it up. Have it creative.
Yeah.
Is this part of Have it creative?
Not really. It's
a subsidiary of?
the motivational stuff was on Have it creative.
Yeah, that I remember.
This is kind of its own...
It's its own thing.
Entity, but it's like I guess if it's everything, if you're gonna umbrella everything that I do outside of my profession, then yeah. Have it creative is the kind of umbrella company for umbrella Dance Monkey company. Dance and the short films and motivational thing and whatever.
So trying to
button.
Do you still listen to... No, I've got like 15 questions and I tried to have had them lined up and I just lose some.
Okay.
Do you still listen to Smodcast? Any of those?
No.
Not even Hollywood Babylon?
No. So basically what happened was after I lost my job, I ended up working at a furniture factory.
As you do.
Yeah. It was the only job I could get. It was working by myself at night.
Yeah,
And they said, "Well, you can listen to music. You can have headphones on. Just don't have any cords that are hanging down and get caught in the machines or whatever."
Makes sense.
So I got a pair of Bluetooth headphones and I loaded 8 hours worth of podcasts 5 days a week, on my iPad, and I would set the iPad up next to the work computer and I would just stream to the headset.
Yeah.
And it was 8 hours of, I listened to tech podcasts and, at that time, Kevin Smith was doing a different show every day. When he first started his podcast thing, he did one day was Hollywood Babylon, one day was Smodcast. Jane Silent Bob Get Old, the next day it was Smodcast, the next day it was him and his friend from Canada.
Oh, yeah, the big guy.
Yeah, him. So that was like an hour a day of stuff. I listened to a lot of Joe Rogan podcasts because those are 3 hours long, and it was like, okay.
Joe Rogan does a 3-hour podcast?
Like 3 times a week.
Jesus.
And it's always about like weird existential things. And I was in the mind frame at the time to be like, all right, this is fine.
all right, this is
fine. Yeah, this is like I could get behind all this stuff because you're 3 hours. I'm by myself. Mm. Like this is what I'm kind of absorbing.
Yeah.
And then when I moved here, I went from being able to listen to 8 hours to about 20 minutes each way to work.
Yeah.
Mm. And when, I don't want to say, I guess I'll just say I stopped liking Kevin Smith.
Okay.
I didn't like what he was putting out. So the only thing that I was listening to from time to time was
Babylon.
That and Tell 'Em Steve Dave, which is the three guys two of the guys were on Comic Book Men, and the other guy is on Impractical Jokers. I listen to that occasionally, but my main podcast right now is the Pendulette podcast, mm-hmm. the Sunday School. He does that twice a week. There's a couple of visual effects podcasts that I listen to, and there's a podcast group called The Incomparable that does, they'll talk for an hour about a specific movie or whatever, and I listen to that. But that usually fills my week of like podcasts.
I think the main one that I used to listen to a whole bunch of Disney podcasts.
Yeah.
Diz Unplugged is a good one, but the Universal edition of Diz Unplugged is what I used to listen to.
Okay.
I just don't have as much time as I used to. More time to myself, but it has to be like focus time, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense. And then I listened to the WDW Today podcast.
Okay.
But then they sold that podcast. So the podcast definitely changed.
Right.
And I didn't mind the elements that they like got rid of and kept, et cetera, et cetera. But the problem was it was so dissimilar from what it used to be that I couldn't listen to it any longer.
Hmm.
Cause it was more informational and it was more like technically informational. It's like, here's our opinion on this and here's the technical and all. And I really enjoyed that.
I just like the podcasts that are more conversational.
What was the one with Jason Mantzoukas?
Oh, that's How Did This Get Made?
How Did This? Yeah.
Okay.
That could be the best podcast out there.
Yeah.
Short of yours.
I like that one a lot.
Please.
What's up, jerks?
It's very entertaining.
Way to go.
Have you listened to that podcast before?
No.
They have a t-shirts. Can we make t-shirts?
We talked about it for a while.
With them
on. So if you can design the t-shirts, we can just put them on TeePublic.
Yeah, or what's the other one?
Redbubble.
No, wait.
TeePublic, TeeFury, TeeVillain.
Those are all t-shirts today, but TeePublic keeps all their stuff up.
There's one that a lot of YouTubers use.
I know.
Because it's made to order.
UT?
UT.
Urinary tract.
Urinary tract infection.
UTI.
We'll put that on a t-shirt.
UTI.
I don't know. I put it out there a couple of times if anybody would want t-shirts, and we never really got back a huge response.
Well we can just do it.
Yeah, the thing about TeePublic is you put the design out there, and they keep it up on their website.
Yeah, Cafe Press does that in a bunch of other ones.
Yeah. Yeah, anybody can get it, even if they don't listen Spreadshirt. To the show, and that might
That's
actually...
That's the other one.
Spreadshirt?
Okay.
Huh.
Well, that might actually prompt people to listen to the show, even if they don't know the show.
Maybe.
If they see the t-shirt, and they like the t-shirt.
Design there, and then you're...
The big monkey head?
Yeah. Who designed that?
The one on the podcast is... The one that when you download the podcast and you see...
Yeah.
Was me. And then John drew one that he told me he was going to like redo and make it really nice, and he never did. And I really liked it because it was like a pissed off monkey in flip flops. Yeah. And I was like, "This is awesome. We should make this into a shirt." And he was like, "Yeah, I'll get right on that." And then I bugged then him for a couple later. Of months, and then that just fell apart.
We'll get mom to do it.
And there's a when we used to do the movie versions of Dance Monkey Dance, where we just did when we just talked about movies, we did a couple of those as well.
Why can't we continue to do?
We can do those. our friend Mark, who draws the comic strip Zordic.
Yeah.
He designed the cover of that one, which is a pissed off monkey like leaning up against a white John Travolta suit dancing on the dance floor. Those are the movie edition ones.
I like that comic book. I saw the commercial for it.
You did the voice for the
Oh, that's right.
I did the voice for those commercials. Yeah.
Great voice.
You could also do a monkey like caught up in a film reel and be angry because like there's film strip all over him.
Yeah.
You shut your mouth with a gape over there, Brendan.
Okay.
I mean, maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll put that up.
This is an idea. This is the idea cast. This episode.
I thought it was the history cast.
Idea cast?
It's the history of ideas.
It's a history of Dance Monkey Dance.
Yeah.
And this is just history in the making.
Awesome. So this is next gen shit.
Sure.
You're just saying sure.
Dance Monkey Dance 2.0?
2.0.
2.0?
2.0.
2.0.
Who says 2.0?
Come to my work.
That's terrible.
2.0.
Brooke's gonna be mad because she's at work right now.
Yes.
So
people gotta work.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get.
I mean, it's
off.
The middle of the day on a Friday. Normally, yep. I wouldn't be here, but I have days to burn.
But there's Chinese.
I have days to burn. How many days? When are you burn until?
I still.
Till April.
I have 3 more weeks where I'm gonna take a Friday off.
Yeah, Chinese Friday.
Yeah, hey.
Chinese Friday is excellent. Whatever. Did you enjoy the restaurant?
Yes, I did. They had a lot of things that I wouldn't expect to find in Chinese buffet.
Like pizza?
Was it you and I?
Macaroni and cheese was something I've never seen before. Pizza. There was a bunch of seafood stuff. I don't eat the seafood stuff.
They have a lot of seafood stuff.
But there was stuff in there that I wouldn't normally associate with a buffet.
Okay.
That I was like, oh, okay.
Fried shrimp, but with the head on?
Well, they had crawfish.
Yeah,
they do have crawfish. That's every week. Very different. No, it's different for a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, something. You and
they had
expect.
The little bacon wrapped hot dogs, which I always appreciate really when good. Chinese buffets have those. So
yeah.
So Valentine's Day was recently.
Yeah.
So Kristen and I took John on Valentine's Day, and our waitress apologized to us, and she goes, "I'm sorry, it's all day dinner." And I go, oh, okay.
Okay.
Right.
I don't know what the hell that means. But, okay. because it was Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So, right. Like, we go
so they
there.
Upped the price.
So they upped the price. But they had special the food, too.
Oh, okay.
Like, they had duck and they had calamari.
Yeah.
And they had coconut shrimp, which I know you can't eat, but it was delicious.
I can eat it. It just destroys me.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to destroy you, so.
It hurts.
There's that. Yeah.
But, I mean, they had, like, all these, like, nice things that you'd see.
Okay.
Like, if you were to go to all the Chinese restaurants and pick out, like, the nicest thing on those menus and then put it all in one buffet, that was this.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome. It was really good. And I was like, man, we may need to come here for dinner once in a while.
It was pretty good.
Chinese.
So dinner. Is their dinner buffet that?
It's different. Like, they change it up each day. Like, there's a special something or another. I don't know if it's set the same every week because we've only been a couple other times. The call is coming from inside the house. literally.
It's going to ring the second time.
Oh, yeah.
It's all right.
It's a phone. Continue. That's what it does. It rings. Because we've been like on a Thursday, say, for dinner one time. And there was coconut shrimp that night. But I don't know if it's like every Thursday they do coconut shrimp or if they change it up or whatever. Yeah.
It was really good, though.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Especially when you eat it with the honeydew, because it's kind of like B.F. Chang's.
Chinese Friday came out of like working at the place that should remain unnamed.
Yes, because I went to that Chinese place with you a couple times.
Which is still great.
It is really good.
It's just too much of a drive.
Yeah, I mean, it's the other side.
But it's not a buffet. It's different.
Yeah, but it limits what you eat.
It does. And they have fantastic food there.
Well, and I do appreciate, like, I've been to Chinese buffets where there's like four things to pick from.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like $13 and you're like, eh, okay. Yeah. But so, this, there's a ton.
Yeah, and they have sushi and they also have hibachi at this place too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Yeah.
That whole thing in
as,
the middle?
As part of the buffet?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, when we went in there originally, my parents went in there. It was only open for 1 week.
Okay.
It was still the same restaurant, but different owners.
Okay.
So they had done all of this stuff to, like, bring people in, and we went in there, and it was the worst.
Mm.
It was, it, no, our restaurant can have a bad week or two.
Or two.
And so, like, when we get to week four, and we're like, this isn't good, should we find another place? Normally, that's when we go, okay, we'll just not.
Well, you guys are the people. Like, most people would have had the second bad thing and said, I'm not coming back.
Yeah, well,
but you are the person that drove to Pizza Hut and sat there to get your pizza when most other people would have just went somewhere else.
I know. We passed a good pizza place all on the way. And by good, I mean we could have had it in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Mod Pizza is where we go.
Mod is amazeballs.
So, but we will go there for, you know, a couple weeks, couple, 3 weeks, and be like, okay, we need to reconsider.
Right.
If it's bad next week, then, you know, but
A1 always brings their game.
Right. They always.
I mean, even if
they just
if
have
it's
off weeks.
An off week of food, their waitresses are very sweet.
Yeah.
1 year, it wasn't this, maybe it was last year for Christmas. We went to the Chinese buffet.
It definitely wasn't this year.
No. I'm trying to think of which year it was.
Which year we invited, by the way.
Huh?
You and family are re-invited.
Yes, I know. We went because I had it in my head. I was like, I don't want to cook on Christmas.
Yeah.
Do you normally cook?
Yeah.
And the Chinese restaurants are always open.
Well, in Goose Creek, there's only one that's open.
Oh.
And which is the buffet.
Okay.
And we walked in there and it was full and they had all you can eat crab legs.
Oh, wow.
I guess for Christmas.
That's crazy.
And people would just pile plates
and
bring them to their table. And it was like, why don't you take some and go?
Because they're afraid they're going to run out. They're going to afraid. There was a lady one time, speaking of the crawfish or whatever that you were talking about. Okay, she was a tiny little woman, and I'm not judging.
Oh, yes.
But
no.
She had a pile of crawfish.
It was like
6 inches high.
Wow.
Yeah. 6 inches high, and she had 2 plates of those, and she went through them in no time.
I've never eaten that because of
whatever
is with me, but I kind of feel like those are like crab legs. Like, it's a lot of work for a little payoff.
Well, it is. It's only
so you have to have a pile in order to get
the meat is half of a pinky.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Yeah.
What?
No, thank you, because like her family and I go out of town.
Right.
And we'll go to a buffet where it's all you can eat seafood, and they'll like get lobster and crab, and I'm like, you guys are picking the shit.
Okay.
The most fucking amount of work.
Lobster's different.
And I hate it. I hate it.
Lobster's prickly. Like,
however,
that's a lot of work.
One time where we went out of town, Myrtle Beach, with her dad, and her dad's like, I'm going to order a steak and a lobster.
A whole lobster.
And he ordered the whole lobster. And I've never, this one guy, it was, can I say the place on here?
Yeah.
Okay. It is a fantastic place called New York Prime,
uh-huh,
Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And so he ordered the lobster, and the guy brings the lobster, and he's like, oh, thanks. And he was expecting to crack it, and the guy's like, nope, I have it. Crack, 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 crack. And like, stripped that lobster. And I was like, I don't know.
I've never seen it done that quickly, that efficiently. Yeah. Like, wow. It was like, insane.
I don't want to hang out with that guy.
He's like, I've been doing this since I was, you know, 8 years old.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
Wow.
How are you eating lobster when you're 8 years old?
He got almost the entire lobster out.
Yeah.
It was every single bit of meat that you could think of, he got out like that.
He did
like,
the claw meat. He did the, it was just nuts. The tail meat.
I mean, I've watched people do crab legs, and it's like, that's way too much effort for what you're getting.
I do love stone crab claws. They're very sweet.
I'll take your word for it.
Yes.
Same.
Oh, you would like them. You just pound them with a hammer.
Didn't we have a conversation where you don't eat seafood?
I don't eat leftover seafood.
She doesn't eat leftover seafood or oysters.
And I don't
eat oysters. That was the thing.
The
oysters.
Fishy of all fish. Seafood.
Fishy fish?
Like, I don't eat cooked salmon, but I eat raw salmon. Because it changes its flavor when it's cooked. It does. It completely changes its flavor.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take
no, I don't. Salmon. Ugh. No. Raw, although yes.
She's eaten salmon that I made here.
Yeah, but it had lots of stuff on it. And it was just a little tiny piece.
The salmon that I made was excellent, thank you.
Well, I don't like salmon.
Yeah. Way to tilapia, insult the cook, Kristen. Like.
Yeah. No, I love
I don't particularly care for catfish.
Okay.
Catfish is a little bit too fishy for me, so to speak.
See?
Okay.
There's a thing that's fishy fish.
Right, yeah, but I think like it's just too much in that direction. I don't think...
It's too muddy tasting, catfishes.
Okay. Again, I have no point
which
of reference.
Which is the problem I have with okay, oysters.
Okay. What?
Do you eat seafood at all? Or?
No.
No, it's because of his issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
Goes through me like a laser beam.
How did you find this out? What, have you tried all seafoods to make sure?
Yes. It happens with shellfish. It happens with regular fish.
You're probably just allergic.
Were they fried or steamed or
I've tried them
ways?
Many
they were steamed
ways.
Afterwards.
Yes. I've tried them many ways. And about once a year, I can stomach tuna fish.
Oh, okay. Canned
canned.
Okay.
Tuna fish with mayonnaise, and then oh, yes. You don't like mayonnaise.
No,
you do like.
He
mayonnaise.
Likes mayonnaise.
You like mayonnaise. We're good.
Brooke doesn't like mayonnaise.
So about once a year, I can do that, and it not really bother me.
Yeah.
If
I eat, if 1 year I was like, oh well, that didn't bother me, so I'll try it again the next week, and it was the same. It was terrible.
Nope. No, I grew up eating tuna fish sandwiches, so.
So
yeah,
did I.
I like
but
tuna.
Like,
I can't.
Like
I don't
at some
that.
Point, this it all changed for me.
Yeah.
And so about once a year I can do that. But one time we were down in Florida for the company thing and somebody handed me something at the outdoor party and I just ate it, not thinking anything
oh,
of it.
No.
And somebody was like, wasn't that great? I love scallops. And I'm like, what's a scallop? And they're like, that's seafood. And I was like, oh crap. And about 30 minutes later, it's like, I gotta go. So
I'd say that was psychosomatic if it were instantaneous.
Possibly. Well, if it was, but maybe in the back of my head, I was like, I ate seafood.
If you didn't know, though, I wonder what would have happened.
Right. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So our friend, she has celiac disease.
Okay.
And so one of her favorite foods is one of my favorite foods, which is called the fish fillet sandwich.
Which isn't real. It's not real fish.
Well,
off the bun, right?
No,
on the bun.
What are you saying?
But she can't eat it, and that's what he's getting at. Like she
loves it. As
it's
much as
her
I
favorite eat. Thing that she can't eat.
Oh, that
anymore.
She can't eat. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
I thought that was something that she was still eating,
well,
and I was like,
breading. She can't eat.
Well, that's why I was
any
saying like
the
on the bun.
Sauce, like any of it.
So like I stopped making fun of her because I felt bad because I was like, it's one of my favorite things. So why the hell if I had to lose this thing?
She's actually the only reason I've ever tried one of those sesame balls, and they are amazing.
Yeah, we tried it for her because she's like, eat one of those sesame balls for me. I was like,
because she can't eat it. It's full of lots of gluten.
Well, so there used to be a restaurant here and in Georgia and North Carolina, everywhere else, called Po' Folks. Do you remember this? Well, obviously
no,
not.
Before me.
It's basically like a processed fish fillet.
Okay.
Breaded. So it's just like fish parts breading, you know. It's the hot
like
dog.
Like worse than Captain D's fish.
Like fish sticks type.
Yeah, fish sticks. Exactly.
That's pretty much what it is, but better.
Okay.
Because it's got the way they process it is more flavorful, if that makes any sense. I find
it's called MSG.
It could be. but
which is what Zaxby's uses. Sorry.
No problem. I find fish sticks to be like too fishy.
Wait.
Zaxby's uses MSG.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying Zaxby's and fish, and I was like, no.
No, they don't
fish
have fish.
Last time I went.
No, I'm saying that Po' Folks probably uses MSG in this fish that Brayden's talking about.
But didn't they realize that like MSG is not like...
It causes some people headaches.
It doesn't?
Yeah.
No.
It doesn't. It's like anything else. It's going to do what it's going to do.
I mean...
Yeah, it just depends.
You either have to make
I'd take a headache for
too.
for some Zaxby's.
Zaxby's is pretty delicious.
Zaxby's got some killer fries.
But Chick-fil-A also uses MSG.
Does
so,
it?
Yeah.
And everybody loves Chick-fil-A.
Right. Except for some people.
Well,
they don't.
I used to have an issue with Chick-fil-A.
What was your issue?
The whole gay rights thing.
Why? The chickens aren't gay. No, I'm messing with you.
They're but also then, not biased.
Right. But then, like, I have a bunch of gay friends that I worked with in Florida.
Right.
And I'd be like...
Wait, you have gay friends in Florida?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
It's a joke.
Gay friend here. Oh, never mind. I was talking to one of them, and I said, yeah, we don't go to Chick-fil-A anymore. And he was like, why? Because they don't like gay people. And he was like, it's a fucking chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
If you like it, go fucking eat it. And I was like, well, if you don't care,
why should I?
If the people that I'm standing up for don't care, then fuck it. I'm going to go get some waffle fries.
There are some people who do, and there are a lot of people who don't.
All right.
Well, my favorite, speaking of gay in Florida, like I met this guy in Florida.
And then you had sex with him?
We did not. So like, we've been hanging. We met this guy, another friend that we made while we were in the theme parks.
Mm-hmm.
She came and met us, and she's like, I have another friend. He's now one of my best friends, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
We met him and we hung out with him all day, drank with him, and I am sloppy drunk on my birthday.
You were.
And
at STP.
No, we were in STP. We were at we got drunk at STP, but we were at the Hangar Bar.
Oh.
Or okay. No.
We went to Polynesian. Resort. It's the It wasn't Jack.
It's the Tiki Bar in the Polynesian.
Okay.
So we're sitting there, and I go, yeah, blah, blah, blah. You're gay. And he goes, no, I'm not. No. And I go, what? All day long, I thought you were gay.
He's but like, what about the like, hand job?
I have an ex-wife.
That's actually, yeah, that's what he told me. Like, my ex-wife. I was like, you can't have an ex-wife. That, gay.
That doesn't, okay. Let me tell you, there are plenty of gay guys that have ex-wives.
I'm not saying I was right. Because obviously, I was
no,
very
and that's
wrong.
Fine. I mean, it is what it is.
So
we have many, many gay friends, and we love them.
Yeah,
most of them are in Florida.
Most of them are in Florida. No,
because there's a large gay population in Florida that's accurate. Accepting of the lifestyle.
Yeah, there's,
plus
yeah.
Disney. Hello.
Oh, well, that's where most of them work.
Yeah, that is true.
If you meet a theme park performer, there's a really good chance that they're gay.
Yeah.
It's just the way it works.
That's why I enjoyed performing for a long time, because like there were a ton of guys and a ton of girls, and there were a ton of gay guys, and so it's like, cool, and my numbers are good.
That it was a wonderful part of being doing the stage shows for theme parks was the gay guy ratio to straight guy ratio, and all the female dancers that were looking for a guy, and it was like,
yep,
hey, I'm straight.
Yep.
So
take a shot.
Nope. So, yeah.
A straight shot.
Huh. Yeah. A shot of what? Wait a minute.
What?
Shot in the mouth? What?
Wait.
What?
No.
Jesus
Christ.
In the eye?
Not in the eye.
In the ear?
Shoot your eye out.
What the hell is going on?
Wouldn't you like to know?
So, what have we decided? We decided to make t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
What was the last movie show you guys did on the show?
Movie show.
Have you not been listening to this show?
We talked about...
We did a movie show, didn't we?
The Indiana Jones trilogy, I think, was the last one we did.
Or no, we watched a movie to do a show, but we didn't.
We were gonna do Hardcore Henry. And it never came to fruition.
Oh, no. We watched this movie.
We did.
We watched this movie.
We did.
To do that podcast.
And then we never talked about it.
And then we never talked about it.
I wouldn't say that we didn't talk about it.
We collectively.
Well, whatever. We never did a podcast based on it.
Right.
But there was definitely a potential there. I mean, we can do that. It doesn't matter.
Hell yeah.
We'll do it.
It's fun. I love talking about
that. I even have an opening, a special opening for that. Because you know how my daughter starts Dance Monkey Dance?
Yeah.
In that one, she says, Dance Monkey Dance, movie edition.
Nice.
How have you gotten her to update this? How often do you get her to update it?
No, because it's I like the fact that she's like three or four.
She will always be three
and she
or
was
four.
She was just able to say it like, she couldn't say Dance Monkey Dance.
It's
she was able
dance.
To say Dance Monkey. And then I took the first one and put it at the end so it says Dance Monkey Dance.
Yeah.
It's a repeat of the
and
first.
And then like I had to say movie. Addition. And then I just cut me out and put it together.
So it's all just a lie.
No, it's called editing.
It's yeah.
It's production.
Wait, did we talked about how the Oscars were going to cut that part.
There is not a lot of production value in the show per se, but that's one of those times
that
where I was doing
editing addition.
Do you want to talk about the Oscars?
I'm
curious.
Did
it bother you?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I didn't like them.
I only watched the last hour.
Okay.
I was watching Walking Dead during most of it. But I was on my phone keeping up with who was winning.
Well, they gave far too many awards to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah. Okay.
I know you didn't like the film.
Well, I mean, it wasn't good technically either.
Okay.
It was
I have not seen it, so I do not know.
The music was good.
The editing was choppy.
Was it choppy for a style, or was it choppy because it was just a mess?
Both, actually. Okay.
Well, I mean,
When they revisited the actual, I think when the secondary director came in, I think Bryan Singer had a specific vision of what he wanted.
Right.
And so when you see something in the reflection of sunglasses and things turn, et cetera, it's a Bryan Singer shot. You know, he's got movement in there. But the secondary director, I don't think had that same eye at the very least.
Okay.
It's like Joss Whedon and Zack Snyder. It's not that they're not wonderful directors in their own right. It's just you put them together and it's a shit show.
Yeah.
Same thing with this Bohemian Rhapsody. You know, it's just like you could tell that they were trying something. Ooh, look, I'm being artistic. And that's how it came off rather than being artistic.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. Sorry, Kristen, you were saying something.
I don't remember. I think I was talking about like how, as far as being cut up, the same thing that they did to the story. I mean, like, it was just...
Mm. Well, it didn't win Best Screenplay. So if it didn't win Best Screenplay, that was the one thing that was like, you know, the fuck you moment.
I did see that there was an outcrying on the internet that Black Panther didn't win. And I was like, come on, you guys got to let that shit go.
Wasn't gonna win. Come on.
And a lot of people were like... There were people who were arguing the point that it, because it's a black film, and they were like, Black Klansman was up, and the
Green
movie
Book.
That won
Green Book,
was
yeah.
a movie about racism and people coming together. Like, what the fuck do you want, man?
Yeah.
Well, I think, so taking it a step further with that.
Yeah.
So Do the Right Thing came out the same year as Driving Miss Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that is, I think, Spike Lee's calling card.
Right.
And so I don't think it was nominated even, and then that's what won. Mm-hmm. And so for Black Klansman to win against Green Book, I think was
opposite.
Funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, hey, whatever. I mean, it's. I kind of feel like because of you have the Academy voting on these things, you get them saying, "Okay, well, we're not going to give Black Panther the best picture." But to appease them, we're going to give them
costume design.
And production design.
That's ridiculous, too.
My thing is, like, there's so much, yeah.
Right. But that was my argument with the VFX. They gave it to
First
Man
One.
That prided itself on everything that you see online about the behind the scenes of,
yeah.
like, we did this all
this
in camera.
This is all practical, yeah.
We tried to do as much in camera as possible.
Yeah.
And it's not visual effects.
Well, that's the whole thing. They gave sound to the Bohemian Rhapsody. Yeah. I'm like, guys, it was a mess sound-wise.
Yeah. I think in this day and age, there's got to be a way to almost go back to the way it was of like only the VFX people can vote on the VFX category.
They do.
No, they opened it up to everybody.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. The bake-off to get into the five nominees
is
all VFX people.
Huh.
Once it goes to the general, here's the five that are nominated,
yeah.
It goes to the entire Academy now. And now you're getting people that don't know what they're looking at saying, well, I really liked it because it all looked real in First Man.
But they don't know
because
what actually
it was
went
all
into
real.
It, yeah.
it wasn't, you weren't
the
creating all worlds.
We're in that porthole and that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I guess my issue with it was, is they're like, it's this year winning, Green Book winning is just as bad as Crash winning. And I'm like, guys, come on. I was like, first and foremost, there were just better movies than Crash. There was Saving Private Ryan, which
right.
I would say is still one of the 100 best films of all time.
Right.
That year. Yes, that was Shakespeare in Love. That was the year Shakespeare in Love came out. But same kind of thing with Crash. There are still movies that are classics every year. Name one movie that will be held as a classic by the entirety of humanity.
This year?
A subset this year. Mm. And I wouldn't find it.
Not even Roma.
Because
Roma was great.
There was that... After the outrage a couple of years ago about not Oscar enough...
So white.
Yes. The inclusion thing... is now swung way far the other way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where it was like, okay, I don't understand. Like, now you're just voting because they're not white people.
Right.
Now you're voting because people were outraged a couple of years ago, so now we're going to swing the other way. And if they could have given the Oscars that went to, like, Bohemian Rhapsody to something else.
Yeah.
I feel like they would have. Just for the inclusion thing.
Well, that takes away from the quality work. Like,
but that's why I think the Academy Awards is a joke now.
Well, in 3 or 4 years, you're going to see... the only great African-American film this year, holy, is If Beale Street Could Talk.
And it wasn't even on there.
For right. Best yeah. Picture.
Yeah.
And that guy won for Moonlight.
Hmm.
Same guy. Barry Jenkins. Fantastic director, fantastic writer. His movies just talk to everyone. You know, they explain an experience to the people who didn't live through that experience, and they relive that experience for the people who did.
Right.
And so to pay short shrift to that for Black Panther was a bad idea. To give that spot to Bohemian Rhapsody was a horrible idea. I don't even know why Vice was nominated for Best Picture. I don't know why Green Book was nominated for Best Picture.
Well, that's the thing. Like, there's all that underworking stuff of why are there 10 like,
well, there
Best
used to be
Picture
10.
Nominees when there's 5 like every other category is like 5.
Well, they used to have they used to be up to 10. So like there actually was only, I think, 8 Best Picture nominees this year.
Okay.
There can be up to 10, but you have to have a certain percentage of the overall. And once you don't meet that, then, and if they go over that, then they have to basically cut down to whatever they were.
So you think some of these were like write-ins?
No, I think, you know, people wanted Black Panther to get a Best Picture nomination, and I don't have an issue with that. It's just when you outcry for something like Black Klansman, which was a perfectly serviceable film.
Yeah.
Green Book was a serviceable film, but there were no great films this year outside of Roma, and people ain't watching that. And they sure as hell aren't nominating it, or they sure as hell aren't letting it win because it's on Netflix.
I honestly don't know how Black Klansman got nominated. It's super bizarre. Off, like,
what are you talking about?
It's a little bit. It's over the top. I mean, I think it's hyper.
Well, it's a comedy.
I know, but that's I don't know. It just doesn't see. It doesn't fit the normal formula. So I think that they're like trying to, like you're saying, as far as picking things that are.
Well, I do feel like over the past couple of years they've tried to broaden the Best Picture category,
right?
Because it was always like 5 to 10 films that
nobody had seen,
and they were real small, like indie things. Mm-hmm. And you were like, I don't know if that's right or not.
Yeah.
And because it was a big deal that, like, you have a superhero movie
right
up for Best Picture this year. And the only reason it was there was because of the cultural significance of that.
Exactly.
That's the issue. Cause I don't even think it was the best Marvel film.
No,
yeah.
No. In the grand scheme of Marvel movies, it's one of the ones I've watched the least, not because it's all black people. I just don't like the story. I don't think that is a very good story in terms of the way I don't think that Doctor Strange is a good story. Like, for me, like, Doctor Strange and Black Panther are the two that I'm like, I'll watch anything else before I get to those two. I'll watch fucking Iron Man 3 again. And I hate Iron Man 3.
Let's not go too
just far. Because there are parts in Iron Man 3 that I appreciate.
I feel like you're swinging so far in the other direction.
No. I mean, well, when you tell Tony Stark, when you have Tony Stark tell a kid that, hey, look, dad's leave, don't be a pussy about it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I can watch that scene a couple times and be like, all right.
Yeah. I don't know. I appreciated, I don't know. Like, it was the lowest that I've had as far as, I tried to literally look at everything this year as if it was, okay, what is the actual best? Rather than going, okay, what do I think is going to win? Or what do the critics say is going to win? And it's the lowest that I've had as far as... Because I looked for sound mixing and sound editing. Far and away should have gone to First Man. And they all went to Bohemian Rhapsody.
Right.
And that's a shame. Because it's just not as... In that those categories, it's not... Like, in the same way that First Man shouldn't have won Best Visual Effects. In the same way that costume design probably shouldn't have gone to Black Panther, because that's some guy in a computer room making that costume rather than.
But I think it won for the Wakanda people, like the people on the.
I still think there's better.
And I'm not arguing that, but I also feel like there's a, we know you're not going to win Best Picture, yeah. so here, have
Here's
something.
Here's this, yeah.
Well, that's what happened with Gaga. Well,
which is why I don't think it should be that way.
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be a better way to do the Academy Awards. If you're going to have it as the highest thing in the land,
yeah.
then they Make need to sure figure that it out. Is.
Well, you can't do that because of the fact that you haven't found inclusion within those specific categories. So inside of VFX, you're still having a bunch of white guys.
Well,
inside of, you know, costume design, I mean, you've got this, that, and the other.
For visual effects, 4 out of the 5 were Industrial Light and Magic.
Jesus.
Like, yeah. so anybody could have put their money down on Industrial Light and Magic to win. And
you would have gotten it 1 out of 4 times.
And I don't even know if one of them was First Man. Mm. It might have been. I think the one that wasn't was Christopher Robin.
But are they still the best? No, it had to be ILM because ILM, I think, is in part owned by Disney now.
Yes.
Because of the
buyout.
Lucasfilm, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. And there was nothing wrong with Christopher Robin. In the same way, there was nothing wrong with Mary Poppins.
Well, there's nothing wrong with any of them as far as, like, visual effects. Every single one, I'm sure, had visual effects that were stunning.
Yeah.
Like the in First Man when they're landing on the moon and it's that, like, down shot. Mm. And, like, all that stuff was incredible. Like, if you're going to talk about the computer aspect of visual effects in that movie, that's probably the
incredible.
Scene.
Yeah.
But there's also like people that I was talking to were all like, oh, it's going to be Infinity War. And I was like,
everybody said that.
But there's so much sloppy work in Infinity War that if I was voting, I would be taking all that into account and being like, you had shit that wasn't good here. You had shit that wasn't good here. So immediately I would throw that out.
Does that ruin the viewing experience for you then?
Not the first time. When I go back and I watch something, it tends to take me out of the movie. And the example I'll give you is Rogue One. When I sat in the theater and watched Rogue One, I literally thought that Tarkin was a real dude because I wasn't looking yeah. closely enough at it.
I gotcha.
But when you come to find out how they did it, then I go back and I'm looking.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not involved in the story anymore. And then I'm like, oh, well, of course it doesn't look as good as it could.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that takes away from the movie. I think the chance that they took in putting a digital human into a major role, they did an incredibly good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they were less successful with the Princess Leia thing at the end.
Oh, see, I thought they were more successful with that.
Oh, I think her mouth is way worse.
Okay.
I
will go back and watch that.
But, yeah. But the last time somebody did this was Tron, and they are leaps and bounds ahead of where they were with Tron.
See, I thought that was pretty good at the time.
At the time it was good, but yeah. when you go back and you look at it and you look at the way that the face moves, you're like, okay, that's not.
How about Patrick Stewart in X-Men 3?
But that was just de-aging. That wasn't creating a digital person.
I thought the best de-aging happened in I'm curious to see Captain Marvel to see how far we've come, but the best de-aging was in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, maybe.
Oh, the Kurt Russell stuff.
Yeah,
that was good. And I thought Michael Douglas stuff in
yeah.
Ant-Man.
Oh man,
that beginning yeah. of Ant-Man when he walks out, I'm like, holy shit, yeah. look at that.
I know. It's exactly like in Wall Street.
Yeah.
Looks straight out of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what they've ended up doing now is you have Michael Douglas on set
yeah.
doing that, and you are just putting a digital skin over it so like you can manipulate it to where it moves the same way. And like they kind of pioneered that with, was it Civil War or Winter Soldier? It was Winter Soldier when Steve goes to visit Agent Carter.
Yeah.
She had no makeup on.
Oh, wow.
They digitally put the older makeup on her.
Okay.
And it allowed her to give a performance that wasn't encumbered by this old age makeup.
Smart.
And they took that and they put it into de-aging on the other side. And they were able to do Michael Douglas. And it was like, wow, okay, you guys.
That's incredible.
So my question is this. Like, they've got deep fakes now. Have you heard about deep
fakes? Yes, I've seen that.
Okay. I don't understand why they can't use that technology.
I'm sure at some point they will. because everybody's been scanned. Every actor that's in one of these movies has been scanned digitally for whether it's stunt work or toys or whatever. They all stand in the scanner at the T pose and they do.
Take a shot.
Yes, they do the entire body scan, and because there are things when they were talking to Tom Holland.
Yeah.
I think it was Homecoming and not Civil War, but he was like, yeah, I went to the movies and I saw stuff that I know I didn't do,
yeah.
But it's my face.
Yeah.
And that's all the scanning stuff. And I'm sure there are tons of rules now in Hollywood that like you can only use it for that movie. And if you're going to do it, you're going to have to pay these people extra and mm-hmm. all this other shit because of the Crispin Glover thing. But, you know, that now with all that tech, all those files are sitting somewhere and they're all just like, okay, we can put this head on this person and we can digitally age them de-age them or do whatever. And that's just the way that Hollywood's going to be. So
I get hopping back to the overall subject. I think you just need more consideration for there are a lot of movies out there that weren't even nominated that were better than the movies that we did have nominated. I think other than maybe snubs. Like two. No, not even snubs. I think when you have a category of 8 contenders and 6 of those you could take out and put 6 other movies in there that have a higher Rotten Tomato score or something like that, then that speaks volumes. You know, Stan and Ollie was an excellent film.
But didn't we just learn that Rotten Tomatoes is not a good benchmark now?
It is an aggregate. Well, for critical aggregate, it is a good aggregate.
Okay.
So basically, it's basically saying, hey, you know, unless you're talking about very, very specific reviewers, like the guy who gave it the Toy Story 3, that one bad review that it has. You know, I think you basically can... You should take into consideration... I also think there should be a rule. This is one thing we've discussed majorly. What is it called? Roma, for example. Best Picture, Best Foreign Film. If you're going to be nominated for Best Picture,
you can't be nominated for Best Foreign Film. No, I agree with that.
Well, I mean, Roma kind of broke the mold on everything.
Roma, the same guy won for cinematography and director. So, like, there too, it's like...
For what and what?
What's his name? One for cinematography and director.
Well, he did both of them.
Right, but what I'm saying is...
Yeah. He physically did both of them, though.
But as best director, that's where you start cutting hairs of like what is really.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like the Netflix kind of thing, how it wasn't like a theater release.
I do like the fact that that's included. John and I talked about this last week of because that platform is getting so big, and they are making movies that are now being seen. Mm-hmm. It's nice that the Academy is saying, yes, this work is relevant.
Yeah.
Well, they also have to release it in Los Angeles and New York by X date. That's all you have to do.
Right.
You have to release it in X amount of theaters in these two cities for X amount of days before X date, and then that's it.
Yeah, and that's how the shorts get in there.
Yeah.
Because they go to theaters and say, hey, can you show this for...
Right. That's all it is.
For whatever.
So Netflix did that. Huh. Netflix did all their due diligence. Now, if you want to change the rules, then good luck. Because you're not going to be able to get rid of films like Roma without getting rid of films like The Favorite at that point.
Yeah.
Because, you know, those movies can't afford theatrical releases in the same way.
Yeah.
So honestly, the Oscars were a great litmus test for, look, these films are great and you have not seen them, but we want to give them a platform. So here we are.
Right.
And that's what they did. And so that's what kind of Roma goes for and against. It's a film that you might not see in theaters, but you're not going to see it in theaters. So why not come over to Netflix and watch it?
I mean, and I think Netflix is very attracted to filmmakers at this point.
Yeah.
Because they're throwing money at filmmakers and they're not imposing any kind of control.
No.
They're saying, make your movie. We don't care.
In the way that you want to make it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And...
As long as you're on a budget.
You know, it's not a great film, but like Bright, David Ayer was given the money and said, we don't care what you do, make it in 4K. That's the only thing we're asking. Okay. And he's getting a sequel out of it. He gets to continue to do the things.
Max Landis isn't writing this one, though.
Well.
So.
But, I mean, so. But at that same point, he's getting a sequel to a film where if it had gone to the theater.
It might not have gotten
a sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the movie wasn't strong enough.
And I think Netflix is finally cleaning up a little bit. And so, a little bit?
A little bit? A little bit? Okay, De Niro.
Sorry.
Is that from your little bit of gin?
No, that's just because I'm retarded. The filmmakers are, they're buying films that were crap that people wanted to kind of push off and get their money back on that they might not have gotten in theaters, i.e. the Cloverfield Paradox.
Right. But what I appreciated about that was the... Nobody really knew that movie even existed.
And then it did.
At the Super Bowl, they were like,
I watched it.
Here's a movie, and guess what? You can go watch it right now.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, who cares?
It exists.
But it's there for you to watch.
But my question is, how much is that worth?
I don't know. That,
like, what, you know, you see what I'm saying? Like,
I'm sure as long as Netflix is getting the new subscribers that they predict, then it's worth everything in the world for them.
Because people will pay that much just to go see a movie in the theater.
Because look at that. Whether it's a good movie or not, the one that's coming out with Ben Affleck. It's got Ben Affleck, Pedro Pascal, Oscar Isaac, Charlie Hunnam, and the dude from Tron, Garrett Hedlund.
Yeah.
They play some special forces team, but it's like an all-star cast.
A whole lot of people who cannot open a movie because God bless Charlie Hunnam.
Exactly.
And God bless Garrett Hedlund.
Exactly. It's giving them a platform to do movies, and like Netflix doesn't release numbers.
Yeah.
So it's really attractive to everybody else to be like, let's do this. Doesn't have to be like, Oscar-worthy.
When it comes to law of diminishing returns, at what point do you go, okay, well, this investment is far more than we can ever make back?
I don't know.
Because I feel like we're getting to that precipice now.
But Netflix had to have looked at that in order to go down this road.
Yeah.
You know, they raise prices every couple of years. It's now like $12 for the basic streaming thing.
For four TVs.
Yeah. So I'm sure that like they've had to look at all that and say, we're spending this much on content. This is what we're making back.
Well, they're also innovating in a way that Blockbuster never did, for example.
Oh, absolutely, because they're like they made the decision a year ago to stop producing things like House of Cards and produce more sci-fi, fantasy type programming because that's where the numbers were.
Well, you can't get that anywhere else,
right? So if you're going to be doing that and you're making Lost in Space, and you're making Russian Doll, and you're making...
Is Russian Doll sci-fi? I don't know anything
about
fantasy.
Okay. It's definitely like... It's kind of Black Mirror-ish.
Okay.
But like things like Black Mirror and...
But from the BBC. Let's give the BBC...
Well, yeah. But they're bringing all that programming that's driving people to their platform. And I think that's what they're revolutionary in bringing that stuff and allowing people to make films that wouldn't have a chance anywhere else.
I just hope they don't stop making... I don't mind if they stop making less of them, but I don't want them to stop making things like House of Cards because that was high programming. That was just really...
It was, but I think in their numbers and in light of the viewership, they're looking at sci-fi and fantasy as the winning path.
So what do you think about, like... So what is happening now? Sorry, I got to stretch. Stretching. What do you think is going to happen with the... I don't know if you've read about the Hulu. They're trying to basically buy out the last 10% of Hulu.
Who is?
Disney from Warner Brothers.
They get almost total control when the Fox merger goes through.
60%.
Yeah.
They're trying to buy 70%.
What I believe will happen is you're going to have Disney Plus that is going to be all the family stuff, including Marvel, Star Wars, Pixar.
Okay.
Hulu is going to be
the adult side
where you see Deadpool, where all the Fox stuff, all the stuff that doesn't fit particularly well with the Disney brand that's already out there. I think that when the 2-year cool off period comes from when that ends from the Marvel Netflix thing, you're going to see those things pop back up, whether or not they're recast or not.
I hope not.
But you will see those things reappear on Hulu instead of Disney Plus. I think that's where that's going to end up going.
We're boring Kristen. She's falling asleep.
I'm not falling asleep. My back's really hurting.
I'm hoping they bring back, because I feel like a lot of people invested a lot of time in those characters and inside of that universe.
I think if they kept Charlie Cox and John Bernthal and
you know, Jet Ritter,
she's okay. Vincent D'Onofrio. As long as they keep those three people attached.
Really, Luke Cage? You don't even.
Luke Cage. I was so bored by Luke Cage.
Oh, I love the first season.
I liked Luke Cage. I liked
the first half of the first season.
Yeah, I know.
Once they kill Cottonmouth, I'm out. And I don't know what that decision was, other than maybe shock value. Yeah. Maybe they only could sign exactly the dude for a couple of episodes.
No, I don't think it's that.
I don't know.
Had not been that broad.
But I think Iron Fist and Luke Cage and even Jessica Jones.
Well, she's super pregnant.
Do you think they're going to need to rebuild the universe? Could they do that, like rebuild?
I almost feel like they could come back with Charlie Cox's Daredevil and just ignore what came before it.
I just hate that.
Which would suck, because season 3 is amazing. And with the exception of the last shot of season 3.
I haven't seen the season 3
yet. Okay. There's one shot at the end where I'm like, oh, God. Okay. We are going there? Okay. That they could ignore all that and kind of start over.
Let me ask this one question. Is not Deadshot, what's his name? Is
Bullseye?
In season 3?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah, and the way that they tell his story is very unique and original.
That's cool.
And I thought it was really well done, except for the last shot.
I will only watch it if he does the thing.
Like, oh, Jesus.
Like, what's
crossing, putting ashes?
Yeah. No, in the Daredevil movie.
The Mark Gordon Chapman. Mark Gordon Chapman? What's his name?
Oh, God.
The guy from Miami Vice.
Colin Farrell does it. He's Have you seen it?
Yes, she's seen it. Yeah.
Three or four times. You know how he's got the impression of the thing? At one point, he's in the church and he does that. Like he crosses the bullseye thing
and then throws and it then
like
table.
Like yeah, oh. And it's really
it's terrible.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
I would. Do you think? Let me ask you this. Okay.
Okay.
Because I know we're almost out of time. Sorry. Do you think that we could bring back any of the old characters from any of the non-connected Marvel Cinematic Universe into the new, those actors into the new Marvel Cinematic Universe as a new version of that character?
You mean like bring Charlie Cox in as Daredevil?
No,
but like
no.
A different Daredevil?
Well, he's technically Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
He's part of it. But like Ben Affleck. Could you bring back Ian Griffith as
Mr. Fantastic?
Could you bring back Nick Cage as
Ghost Rider?
And make a good film of that?
You'd have to acknowledge what came before it.
Okay.
I think if you're going to bring back Ben Affleck as Daredevil, you have to say what happened in that first movie happened.
Why?
Because people are going to make that parallel anyway.
See, I think it would be
you can
fun
say
to,
it's an alternate to see universe.
Like a not well,
but Marvel doesn't really dabble in that. That's
that
a DC
incorrect.
Thing.
No, Marvel 616.
I understand, but the cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Without seeing Endgame.
Yeah.
And with hearing that they may be going to different universes.
Okay.
Mm.
Up until this point, they have never done that. And it's always been the privy of DC TV to say there's different Earths.
Different Earths and different timelines.
That has come out. Like Crisis on Infinite Earths, there's literally not infinite Earths. There's, I mean, there is, but there isn't. They normally only 53 of them because of the new 52.
Right, but then you get, like, was it the last crossover where they talked about Earth 98?
Yeah.
And it was like...
No, it was two crossovers ago.
Or Earth 88 or something.
That was the Nazi,
like,
one?
No, there was... It was the one where the Flash is actually John Wesley's ship.
Oh, yeah.
And he shows up and he's from Earth 98 or something.
And you saw that, like, the arrow is from Smallville.
Yes. Yeah, so he's laying on the ground and it's the Smallville costumes and stuff. Yeah. So they're breaking their own rules in that. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think DC TV now is getting to the point where things are happening in different universes without the need to cross over. And I'm okay with that. Like, we don't need the same Batman. We don't need the same Superman.
Have you read the news about that there are basically, after this next season, there will be a completely different CW, WB universe or DC universe?
I'm okay with that.
Like, they're going to cancel Arrow. They're going to cancel Legends of Tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
They're going to cancel Supergirl. And then you'll have Batwoman, Flash, and Superman as the three shows.
They need to get rid of Flash.
Why?
Flash is terrible.
It's the best show.
No.
Of the three?
No.
Four?
No. I am so over Nora.
Nora.
How do you have a Flash show without Barry Allen in three quarters of it? Like, it is built around him, and it's whiny Nora
last episode.
Doing...
So if you got rid of Nora, you'd be fine.
Yes.
Okay.
Right, but right now season. It is not a good show. I am not enjoying this season at all. You know what I am enjoying? And I talked about this last week, so I apologize. Doom Patrol.
All that I can't watch.
Doom Patrol is right now for me the best superhero show on any platform.
That's still existing, you mean?
What do you mean?
Because, I mean, Daredevil would be...
Have you seen any of Doom Patrol?
I haven't seen a single episode of it.
Okay. Doom Patrol...
It just looks like... It looks like Sid and Marty Croft's Doom Patrol to me.
I wish there was a way... Okay, so... Without spoiling anything...
Yeah. I mean, I know Brendan Fraser... Well,
They are taking it from a standpoint... Where they know it's a ridiculous premise.
Yeah.
That they know the characters are ridiculous and they are calling it out. Alan Tudyk, who played K2SO and King Candy in
Wash
in Firefly, is the narrator. And he's also a character on the show.
He's not the robot because Brendan Fraser is.
Brendan Fraser's him, Matt Bomer, who was on Blue Collar.
And he was White Collar.
White Collar. He plays
Blue Bloods, White Collar.
He plays Negative Man, like he's the voice of Negative Man. But Alan Tudyk in the first episode, the very first voiceover is, "I know what you're thinking, another DC superhero show. I'm sure the critics are going to hate this," and like they call out every negative thing that they've written on the internet so far,
nice.
And have just leaned into the absurdity of the premise.
Yeah,
and it's so much fun. That it's not taking itself seriously. It's not beholden to the rules of television.
Yeah.
The second episode, they get sucked into a donkey that is a portal to a different dimension.
Makes sense.
And they call out the absurdity of it. And it's just like, I completely love this show. Like, it's such a refreshing thing from like doomy Arrow, like, we're shooting people and we're killing people, blah, blah, blah. And if this is not the start of the Brendan Fraser comeback, I'm going to be pissed.
He's got because a long way to come
he
back.
He is the best part of the show.
Because you have not seen... I love Brendan Fraser. Like, there's nobody that I'd want to see come back more than him, other than maybe Steve Guttenberg. But Furry Vengeance...
Okay.
I sat through that movie.
Okay. I'm not saying everything... Look, the dude's had struggles. And he's had to take the work that he's had to take.
I appreciate that.
But they use him as the character before he becomes Robot Man in all the flashback stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a little interesting because Cliff Steele, who he plays, is a race car driver.
Yeah.
But it's Fat Brendan Fraser as a race car driver.
Is he Fat Brendan Fraser now?
So, huh?
Is he Fat Brendan Fraser now?
So it's interesting because he's supposed to be like this world champion race car driver. Yeah. And you're like, dude would never fit in the car. Like, that's just not the way that works. And they show a shot of him with the helmet on and his face is smushed into the helmet. And I'm like, oh man, come on.
That's so sad.
But he is such a good part of this show that I'm like, I'm buying every second of it.
Well, I mean, he was fantastic in the work that he's done.
Oh yeah, in
the
absolutely.
Movies, you know, he's the reason why they were successful in large part, other than maybe Rachel Weisz's everything.
Well,
and I loved him in Gods and Monsters. Did you ever see that movie?
No, yeah.
Frankenstein. You have, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's basically about James Whale while he was directing Frankenstein.
Okay.
And this young man who comes to live with him. James Whale's gay. This guy's not. And it's about his fixation with this young boy who's living with him while he's making Bride of Frankenstein.
Brendan Fraser is the director?
No, he's the little...
He plays
a kid.
He's the little boy.
Yeah, okay. I mean, he's not the little boy. He's like 25, 20, 30.
Oh, so this was early kid. In his career.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
This is after The Mummy, but before... He was nominated for an Academy Award for that?
Oh, really?
Mark?
Oh.
Maybe? I don't know.
Okay.
He was excellent in it.
Well, I do hope that this is his comeback. Or at least this opens up more avenues to do stuff like this for him. Because it's...
Have you watched Legends of Tomorrow, though, this season?
No, I gave up on Legends of Tomorrow after season one, but I've heard that it's gotten better.
It's pretty much that.
When they did the episode, it may have been season two, where they're running around with young George Lucas, I was like,
season two,
all right, I'm kind of done with this.
You're like,
but I've heard they've just leaned into the absurdity.
So this is my problem with DC Marvel. Is on DC, unless you go so far in one direction, it's rare that you hit right. So Wonder Woman, Aquaman are pretty much right where they need to be, if not the most perfect movies in the world. But Marvel does this like constantly. How can you not figure out some of that formula about what's working? Why can you not do that math?
You mean DC?
Yeah.
Because they don't want to be... They don't want to follow in Marvel's footsteps. That everything that I've read is they understand the way that Marvel became successful.
Yeah.
One of the things that makes Marvel stand out is that Disney allows Marvel to be its own company.
Yeah.
DC has to deal with Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers is the entity that forced them to release Justice League before it was ready.
But they own it.
They wanted...
In the same way that Disney owns Marvel.
Disney's not chasing... bonuses. The Warner Brothers executives said to Joss Whedon, you need to have this out by December because we want to get our end of the year bonuses.
Okay.
Jeez.
And that's where they are hindered. And when you have Warner Brothers say you can't have a Batman on TV and a Batman in the theater that's different, and then everything falls apart, and then they go, well, you can have a Superman over here and a Superman in the movies. And you can have young Bruce Wayne on Gotham, but you can't do Batman on Arrow. Like, you're tying their hands in a way where if they just said, it's all multiverse.
Yeah.
It's okay to have different Batmans in different dimensions.
Yeah.
Whatever. They could just run with that. But Warner Brothers...
the only company who could get away with it.
Warner Brothers is tying their hands and saying, you can't do this.
You can't refer to Jerome as the Joker.
Right. Even though he is the Joker. Or
clearly.
Yeah. Is it Jerome or Jeremiah now? It's Jeremiah.
Jerome
was the first one.
Sure.
Jeremiah is his twin brother.
Yeah. Okay, so Jerome was the one that went crazy and cut off his face.
Yes.
Jeremiah is his twin brother
who
also went crazy.
Who is... Did you see Gotham 2 weeks ago?
Not tonight. I haven't seen last night.
So okay. That's
Yeah, Arkham. The Acme.
Yes, Acme when he got pushed into the thing.
Yeah. Okay.
He is now the Joker. Like, but they can't call him that. Which makes no sense. DC and Warner Brothers have made these... Well, it's not even DC, because DC was like, just fucking do it. They paid all the money for the characters. Like, Fox paid all that money to use the characters. And then Warner Brothers said, well, you can't call him Joker. Because that's a different property. We're going to let Joaquin Phoenix do his own take, even though that we have... Jared Leto over here that's doing his take.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to be a completely different character, but the same character. And from what I've heard about that movie is the Joaquin Phoenix thing is they were constantly rewriting the film, which gives me no hope now for this film that they would come in on the day and rewrite all the scenes. And it's like, how do you make a film that way?
Well, who was rewriting the scenes?
Joaquin Phoenix and the director. They were using the script as a guideline.
Wasn't Adam McKay though? Isn't it Adam McKay?
Is it? I don't know.
That gives me faith that he's got some kind of vision, even if it's more because, well, I guess maybe because if you look at Anchorman, and you look at Anchorman 2, those are two sides of the same coin. Right. As much as I love both of them, Anchorman's a fantastic film, which was molded during the editing process, and this may happen the same way.
But I think to answer your question is, DC understands what made Marvel work. They decided that they were going to go in the opposite direction and do the team-up movie before the solo movies because they didn't want the parallels drawn of DC's just trying to be like Marvel.
Who gives a shit if you're doing it right?
Why does anybody give a shit? Like I would rather have shitty Batman movies than no Batman movies. I would rather have, and I'm going to say it on the air, I'd rather have a crappy Green Lantern film than never seeing him on film.
Yeah.
Because I enjoy superheroes. I have friends that I'll say, did you see Aquaman? And they're like, I don't go to see DC films. Why?
Why?
If you are a comic book fan, you should be seeing every comic book movie. It doesn't matter who makes them.
Yeah, sorry. My leg just cramped. Sorry.
Huh?
You're right. Yeah, I'm good. Okay. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, I don't understand that mentality.
No, I was getting a little bit tired after the Dawn of Justice, Justice League.
But like Justice League suffered from a lot of problems.
Yeah.
That I feel were out of DC's hands. Warner Brothers started it as two pictures, and then in the middle of production cut it down to one.
Yeah.
They lost their director to a personal tragedy. They brought in
quotes. No, I mean the personal tragedy was real. That they lost him rather than just shoving him out the door.
Right.
Was different.
Right. They put a director on the film that was completely different tonally.
Yeah.
Than the guy that had started the film. And they ripped apart every single cut of that film until that they were able to find something that they could put out in the time frame that they wanted.
Yeah.
And that was all Warner Brothers. Mm-hmm. And DC just sat there and said, I guess it's a Justice League movie. And I think in that instance, when you look at, like, everybody complains about Steppenwolf, but Steppenwolf was redesigned a month before release, and the effects houses had to scramble to put him into the film in the incarnation that he's in now. So everybody goes, oh, Steppenwolf looked so horrible compared to Thanos. Well, they were working on Thanos for like 2 years.
Yeah.
They had a month for Steppenwolf. So like at least give them some credit. But I think that's the problem. I think Warner Brothers.
The parallax problem.
Yeah. Warner Brothers has DC's hands tied.
They have no faith in the product.
No, not at all. And when they loosen up just a bit, you get Wonder Woman and you get Aquaman. And Justin Lin saying, I'm not going to do this if you guys are going to keep putting your hands all over it.
Well, yes, I do believe that Justin Lin and Patty Jenkins and Justin Lin had more. I think the fact of the matter is you hired somebody to run your universe that had a vision that did not actually like come together with the actual universe that you were trying to present, i.e.
Are you talking Superman. Jeff Johns or are you talking Zack Snyder?
God bless Jeff Johns. He just doesn't have a backbone for it.
No.
Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
Because Zack Snyder knew the films that he wanted to make. It's just the question is, did those films need to be made? Because Zack Snyder's hands were tied by Warner Brothers in so much as the edit of Batman vs. Superman just didn't make a damn bit of sense, the theatrical cut.
No.
But then you watch the actual film version of it and you're like, this is so much better.
Yes.
But then at the end of the day you have to answer your question, is it still a good movie? And the answer is no.
No, and I think you and I disagree on Man of Steel.
We seriously do. But that's because I don't think you have an understanding of the character. But again, it's his take on the character.
Right. So. But I think what made that a better movie than, say, Batman v Superman was you had Christopher Nolan coming in and saying, this is what you need to be doing. Mm-hmm. And Zack Snyder saying, okay, as Chris Nolan is the producer, we're going to let him have some creative control.
Yeah.
And then the mild success that Man of Steel was, Warner Brothers looks at that and says, Zack Snyder did that. Let's give him control.
No,
Zack Snyder, for whatever you think of his work, is not, he's a great visual guy. He makes amazing visuals, but he's not a good storyteller.
No.
And Sucker Punch should have been Warner Brothers' eye-opening moment of like, this is not the dude to run this.
But you gave that to him before you gave him Watchmen.
Right. Well, exactly. Like, but Watchmen was a success because he just remade the comic book.
Right. So anytime you have his visual hand guided by somebody who knows how to tell a damn good story, it's fun.
It's great.
Because you have James Gunn telling the story Dawn of the Dead. Mm-hmm. You have, what was this one after that? Was it?
James?
No. What was Zack Snyder's film after that?
300?
Yeah. Again, Frank Miller.
Right.
Making that comic book. Then you have Sucker Punch. Then you have Dawn of Justice and Man of Steel. Or Man of Steel, then Dawn of Justice. And you can see where those breaks are. Anytime he's left to his own devices, you get Sucker Punch.
It's off the rails. And I like that the community has come together to be like, you should really release Zack's full vision.
100% should do that.
Because we want to see how different it would be. But at the end of the day, I don't know if that would...
It's still not going to be a good movie.
No, but it would be an interesting take on like how you make films. I don't know. I'd be interested to see it just to see where his vision was actually going. Because the visual effects guys all said that it was a picture lock, which means all that stuff that Warner Brothers was saying of like he never finished shooting the film is wrong.
Didn't have it shot, didn't have it edited, etc.
Yeah, no, they were in picture lock, which means the editing was done and they were sending plates out for the visual effects,
yeah,
to be done, and the digital intermediates and all that other shit that goes into filmmaking. So I would love to see what his actual story is.
And now they're like, well, we're not going to do a connected the DC Cinematic Universe is dead.
Yeah, it's no longer connected.
Which it should be. You've already told that story. Sorry.
I know.
You've made that decision.
I know.
You just need to make up for that later.
I agree.
Make 15 films and then make another Justice League. But at the same time, make another Justice League.
Oh, absolutely. But I truly feel that way.
You're going to replace Supergirl, some shitty Supergirl movie, with a mediocre Superman movie. Because you're going to make another Batman movie because you want a younger Batman in there. No, you should just thought about that before you hired some guy who had no real vision.
Well,
overall vision.
I feel the younger Batman thing is Affleck not wanting to do it. And them saying, okay, let's just get somebody who's willing to do this
that's younger. I've just seen that movie in 89 and 92.
It depends on where they go with it, to be quite honest. They could make a really good movie. There was that Green Arrow...
Supermax?
Yeah, Supermax, where he had to get out of prison, which they actually kind of did this year on Arrow.
Yeah, which I thought was good.
Which was a decent... arc for the show. But if they did something like that where he was up against the entire Rogues Gallery, it would be a vastly more entertaining film.
So this is we need to end this conversation, I understand.
Yeah.
But this is where I think you said that DC and Warner Brothers get it in the same way that Marvel does. They just don't want to repeat it. But they go, okay, cool. We want to make an Ant-Man film. But we don't want it to look exactly like Iron Man.
Right.
We don't want it to look like Captain America. Captain America is a World War II noir film.
Right.
Then you've got an espionage film and Captain America Winter Soldier. You've got a bank heist film in Ant-Man.
Right.
And if you made... Warner Brothers won't risk making a smaller film.
No.
It's got to be a $200... Black man in Greece blowing shit up with his eyes, shooting at Mera and Aquaman film. And that wears me out.
They want to make comic book films. They and Marvel wants to make different genres.
Those are still comic book films.
I know.
Tell that to Hush, you know, which is, you know, tell that to you know, I don't need to see Crisis on Infinite Earths every single movie. I need a Hush. I right. need a Killing Joke. You know, the smaller, more intimate character-driven films.
Well,
and that's, I've never seen that
film. Maybe that'll be Joker. Who knows?
Jesus Christ. We're all screwed.
All right. Well, on that note. Do you have anything you want to plug?
No. Let's just make more.
What about podcasts. Your what about your mom's?
Mom suchandsuchdesigns.com.
Where you can find
her, my mom, Jeannie Joyner's artwork. It's all Charleston. It's fantastic. Order now.
And what's that website one more time?
Suchandsuchdesigns.com.
Okay. Kristen, did you have anything to plug?
I'm on Instagram at SUD1183.
Are you still awake?
We woke Kristen up.
I wasn't asleep.
You just had nothing to add? Hmm. Oh, whatever. Be that way.
Happens.
We bored the shit out of everybody in the room. All right. Good luck getting through this one, guys.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email, info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. Let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
Kristen.
Brandon.
Take a shot.
Ow. Have a good week.